Namo Vishnu Padaya. Stay in a minute.
If we could quickly set up the mic with that.
He said, the mantra spec for Godhead. And when he was still in India, he wrote letters to one president of a it was a charity institution. And he said, as far as I am concerned, I have no doubt that in this life I will go back to Godhead. He wrote this in a very matter-of-fact way, just maybe like we lived this morning or we slept at the Times Square in New York in Manhattan, not directly on the square, but in an apartment. And this morning we said, well, let's go to the Bhakti Center. And no one of us had a doubt that we would reach there, especially not when we had a Bengali taxi driver who was playing to us on Kirtan, I think, which was made in London or in Bangladesh, on this one of the Buddhist Kirtan. So Prabhupada said in the same way, I have no doubt that in this life I will go back to Godhead. Now, in order to complete that journey, there has to be an external journey and also an internal journey. Both of these journeys, according to our tradition, start with initiation. You could ask, but what is the time before initiation? That is also part of the journey. But what is special, what is in addition to the initiation available, is a more concrete support of the entire Sampradaya or Parampara. So two kinds of journeys are important, and I request Bhakti Kane to listen attentively, and also all of you who are gracing or blessing the ceremony with your exalted presence. I request you to listen attentively, maybe to find out where you are on this journey, these two types of journey. The externally visible journey is the journey to the ashrams. Usually we start in the Brahmachari ashram, and from there we have two options. We either enter into the Grihastha ashram, and from there into the retired Vanaprastha ashram, and then the Sannyas ashram, or in other cases one commences his journey from the Brahmachari ashram into the Sannyas ashram, which is something which in the Vedic tradition is more rare, but in our society, the ISKCON society, that is also visible, very often visible. So these are external journeys, the journeys to the ashrams, and you can see it. You can see, for instance, Vasudev was a Brahmachari, now he has entered the sacred Grihastha ashram. It's visible by the color he wears. External journeys are always visible from the outside, because some signs are given. Or when a sannyasi, when a Brahmachari enters the sannyas ashram, he will dress different, laid in the beginning, carry a dhamma with him. It's visible that he is on the expansion. In the journey also we change services, we change locations, like Cain is joined in Germany and is now in New York. It's visible, the outside journey. And the services are visible. But there is also an internal journey which Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as the journey which goes from Shraddha, in initial faith, to the association of devotees, to the adoption of spiritual practices, and then there are some results. One becomes free from anattas and eventually steady and develops a taste and a firm attachment, and then ecstasy, ecstatic emotions in Krishna consciousness, and finally pure love. This is an internal journey, a journey from Shraddha to Prema. This is all well known in our society, and I will not spend time talking about this in more detail, but I want to ask you a question. When you make a journey, a vehicle is necessary. What is the vehicle which helps you commence your journey in Krishna consciousness? In Buddhism, this is called the great vehicle, the small vehicle. In the language of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it's called an upaya. Upaya means a means, an instrument, something which helps you to come from point A to point B. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the main upaya, the parama upaya in Krishna consciousness to commence your journey through life, both in terms of the external journey and in terms of the internal journey of purification, love of Godhead. The vehicle, the means which carries you through this is the practice of chanting the holy name. He says that there are traditionally 9 processes of devotional service, but amongst all those, the kirtan, the chanting of the holy name, is given a first place of importance because of 2 reasons. It has the amazing possibility to free us from sinful reactions, and another very amazing power in this kirtan of the holy name is that it can bestow upon the practitioner of kirtan the rare priceless jewel of love of Godhead. So because of these 2 reasons, the chanting very quickly delivers one from sin, for reaction, and second, it gives love of Godhead. The kirtan is praised as the parama upaya, the highest means which will help you to commence both of these journeys in your Krishna consciousness life. Now, to really enter the practice, you do not really require a spiritual master. The holy name is described to be independent of external things. However, to guide you on this journey, their guidance is required. The means, the upaya, is chanting. That is to apply it to the best of your ability. Guidance is possible, is necessary. It is said that the spiritual master gives to the disciple sambandha, a connection, firm connection to Krishna. Without that sambandha, or sambandha jnana is called, who are you and who is Krishna and how do you relate to Krishna? The chanting is shallow chanting. It is Namavasa. It is not the real thing. It's a look-alike. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that there are five principles which help you to enter the palace of bhakti. One is accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The second is accepting initiation from the spiritual master and receiving instructions from him. The third one is serving the spiritual master with faith and confidence. The next one requires us to look more a second time. It's following in the footsteps of saintly persons. You can see the spiritual master is not coming alone. He comes with a sampradaya. He comes with a line of saints. It's not it's not a personality cult, in other words. And the fifth principle is inquiring about eternal religious principles. You have to ask questions. You have to be willing to learn, to have the guidance which you need in the Samana Dhyana as well, the foundational principles. You like to read this and become more informed about this. It's on page 59 of the Nectar of Devotion up to 62. It's something which I'm sure Bhakti Kane will like to find out a little bit more. Good. So, Krishna. Now, what is actually the practice of chanting Hare Krishna? My dear devotees, now comes something new which you need to learn. Listen carefully, please. I could see that yesterday. We were yesterday with a Harinam ashram. In the midst of the intestines of the beast called New York, in the heart, it was a hard. He was digesting people. and it was very hot inside. It was in the subway system. When I walked through it, I said to Hari Prasad, I don't know if this is reality, a dream, or a nightmare. I think we can emphasize with a poor European overwhelmed by the sheer mass of people and the vasanas, the desires they carry in their hearts. It was hot. People were digested. And then we heard the karatas, and the devotees were singing the holy name in an atmosphere of distraction, in an atmosphere of rajagun. You all face this as preachers in New York. The atmosphere is what it is, unadulterated passion. How in this situation will you have a taste in your chanting? Yes, everyone can chant, but you must chant the taste. So, otherwise you will give the chanting the second place of importance. Or you will, just like I have seen many of you, just chant the rounds spread over the day and not really present there. How can you chanting, the taste in chanting. Listen very carefully. There is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he says, O Lord, O Lord, I have forgotten you, and my tongue has become afflicted with the jaundice of ignorance, engrossed in mundane pleasures. My tongue does not like the nectar of the name of Krishna.
No taste. No taste.
Yet, if I faithfully chant the name every day, then just as sugar candy eradicates jaundice, so my taste for the name will gradually develop. Bhaktivinoda Thakur alludes to the terrible disease of jaundice, which somehow compromises or changes your taste buds to such a degree that what is sweet will turn taste bitter, like kalela to you. It's really bitter. And that the tongue is wide, and it's really very bad. So he says, because I'm sick, the taste of the holy name is not coming. But let me chant faithfully the name every day, and then the taste will return. My misfortune is that I have never had faith in the name. O merciful Lord, how will the 10 offenses, my misfortune, be destroyed? The 10 offenses is what keeps you from tasting the holy name. It is something which blocks your ability to taste the sweet nectar of Hare Krishna. Therefore, someone who wants to obtain the real spiritual life must work the various to avoid the 10 offenses, especially one that is criticizing devotees. It is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you just need to do two things. Do not criticize Vaishnavas and chant the holy name. And then Mahaprabhu said, I will give you personally love of God if you do this. Not criticize and chant. So these 10 offenses, the first one you wrote already, that is to criticize sadhus who are devoted to the name. These 10 offenses are nectar blockers. That's a new organism, new creation of birds is required for this. They block the nectar. You can't get it. Second is to consider the names, forms, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord to be distinct from Krishna, and to consider Shiva, other living gods, and lords, which are independent of the Supreme Lord. I think no one does this here. The third is to disrespect the spiritual master, the one who enlightens others about the name. The fourth is to disrespect the scriptures which narrate the glories of the name. Who can tell me of you the fifth of these? I can only speak English. Then what is the fifth of these? But I think you said to consider the glories of the name to be nothing more than just praise, has no factual existence. The sixth is to consider the name itself to be imagination. the sixth, seventh is to commit sins, thinking that the holy name, chanting the holy name, will make good of this, no problem, as long as I chant. The eighth is to consider serving the name to be equal to pious activities. Ninth is to instruct faithless persons about the name. Well, isn't that what Cain does every day when he goes in the south bay? These people are faithless. No, you can chant the holy name together, but you just do not get into the super confidential things, and they will protest. And tenth is to engage in the service of the name with mundane egotism. I, and possessiveness. My. These 10 offenses must be completely abandoned or given up by someone who wants to go forward in the chanting of the holy name. I urge you, Bhakta Cain, and all the devotees here, please, whenever you feel no taste in spiritual life, in your life, your spiritual life appears dull, or you are distracted, it must be that there is some fog of apurada which is destroying your vision. So, now I want to come to the end and want to speak about the actual practice of chanting. The chanting starts with hearing about the glories of the holy name. The state is called Shravandas. The next stage after Shravandas is Varandasha. Varandasha means you accept, you own it, and it also means accepting initiation. Then the next comes, which is the difficult part of it, so the first things are quite easy, hearing and accepting. But then comes, it's sometimes called Smarandasha or Sadandasha. It's the level of practice where you have to go and do it every day. You have to do it in the morning hours. You have to give the chanting the best time of the day. Or you have a service of chanting in the unions in New York. It's every day sadhana. It's a practice to chant. While you chant, chant as good as you can. Avoid distractions. Avoid the bodily concept of life. And just do it as a faithful service to Krishna. That is sadhana does. And my dear devotees, this time, this period, takes most of the time. Oh, it can go for 20 years. Prabhupada once said, if you chant for 50 years the holy name, you will go back to God. He said like this, 50 years. So it's a sadhana, it's a practice. You're not yet perfect, you're not yet here, but you do it every day with affection. There's a song by Bhakti Notago who speaks about this. I was surprised to this morning. Very good. I can't say that. Yes. Daily, he says. Yeah. Anudina yena tava nama gai. As I constantly chant your name, my offenses will gradually go away by your mercy. Anudina means every day. Every day I chant to do this. Here he says another word. Pratidina. Every day you must do this. Pratidina yadi. Prati. what is it here? Pratidina yadi adara karya sena kirtan pari. Yet if I faithfully chant the name every day, just as sugar candy eradicates from the soul, my taste for the name will gradually devolve. I must say, when Bhakta came, approached me for initiation, I said, you're so young, and I can see some green behind your ear. You are inexperienced. You join. Oh, life will tell, teach you many reasons, lessons. Who knows how long you will be with us. Now you're very enthusiastic, but you are a shishu, a child. And so on. And Cain waited for a long time. And he, last time in Sadhu Sangha, I said, you look still very young. He started to cry. No, no. He said, go somewhere else where it's easy to get an initiation. No, no, no. And so I meant in our movement, of course. But when I became, when I heard that he actually goes and chants every day, then I thought, oh, scriptures he just said, that this is a practice, this is a sadhana, and this brings one to the level of God. It's a great fortune that there are programs like this in this world, where it is possible to serve the holy name in kirtan every day. This is a wonderful process. And those of us who are at other services, please also know every day you must do this. Every day, even if you don't have taste, you get the taste by doing it. And you establish something in your consciousness. You must give it prime time, because this is the main means, this is the main vehicle, parama upaya. This was the statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the vehicle which can help you to commence your journey, your two types of journey, the journey through life and the inner journey, the journey of purification. This is what is available for us. There's nothing else available in this age of Kali. So you must not do the mistake to, let me say, arrange the chanting through your day. Your day is in what you have to do, that's in the center of your life, and the chanting is around it. It will late or sometimes insist. No, you must. If you do this, you suffer from wrong priorities. You must put the chanting of the holy name in the center of your life and arrange your other activities and services around this. Please remember, main upaya, parama upaya in this ancient Kali. Otherwise, how will you become free from the karmic reactions which you have, which condition you so much every day? How will you ever attain the love of God? It's the highest dream, an institutionalized highest dream in some cases. No, we must set the right priority. I always remember when I come to New York, Srila Prabhupada, how he went to the center of this, nothing was developed. And he had one shelter, and it was the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, but also the shelter of the holy name. I remember in San Francisco, which later there was a traumatic encounter of a young person who was afflicted by craziness from the from taking drugs. And he asked Prabhupada repeatedly, what about my mind? What can I do for my mind? What about the mind? And the Prabhupada looked at him, and very personally, very deeply, very well considered, he said, I have nothing else than the chanting. Chant the holy name. That's what I have. That's what I'm doing. And it works. So I request all the devotees to bless this three souls. Vasudev, our priest, Bhaktakei, and myself. We require blessings to do this important ceremony. I request also all of you to revisit the subjects you've heard this morning. Where are you in your journey? How far is your practice? Have you gone Shravana Dasha, then Bhagavad Dasha, then the next is Sadhana Dasha or Smarana Dasha, then comes Avandasa. You achieve something. What you achieve is an understanding of your spiritual identity, how you love the body. And finally, you attain Sampati Dasa, that is, in philosophical terms, Vastu City, that is when you are no longer in this world, but you have joined Krishna in the spiritual world. How are you? Where are you? Are you thinking about your journey? Have you given up thinking about your journey? Have you gone maybe on automatic pilot thing, thinking everything will just happen mysteriously to me? Can you maintain this belief after seeing so many failures on the path? Is it clever to think like this? No, please apply yourself to this wonderful process of chanting. This is a science, per se, and make your journey, two types of journeys, successful. We will end here. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāy, Śrī Harinām Prabhu ki jāy, Namaśraya ki jāy, Gaur Hari Hari. Having said this, we will call forward.
So let's change the next week's words.
Okay.